Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, where we engage in lively and thoughtful conversations with professionals in the nonprofit world. I'm Janice Cunning, and I'm here with my partner, Margaret Katz-Kan, and we're excited to welcome to the podcast, Joe Torres. And Joe is the Director of Funder and Partner Relations at Grand Challenges Canada, and also ED of the Grand Challenges Canada Foundation. So welcome, Joe.
Thanks so much. Really glad to be here.
Yes, I often tease you that you wear a lot of hats. So that was a big mouthful of a title.
It is. Yeah. Some days more hats than others. And I really need the hats. So here we are.
Yeah. So as Joe wrote a great piece for us, and we're going to have a conversation today about, you know, just a challenge nonprofits to think about the way that they reward, particularly their frontline fundraisers. And, you know, you're sort of newly back in Toronto a couple of years ago, Joe, like a little, you know, taking on some new roles. We met actually, as you mentioned in the article, when I was lucky enough to be able to coach you as you were kind of transitioning into your particularly new role as the ED of the foundation. And so I guess to start off, like maybe give us some context of like why this topic has been top of mind for you.
Yeah, thanks so much. It's been it's a big topic that I feel. So being new to this space, being new to sort of formal fundraising, you know, the first thing that I try to do is just find a bunch of resources, read up about it, and learn a little bit more. And there's a lot of really great material everywhere around fundraising on tactics and techniques, and there's lots of stuff to read. The part that was missing for me was the reward system. So what's like a good, what are good incentives for incentivizing good behavior, supporting fundraisers, rewarding outcomes that organizations want? And what I found was there's not a whole lot of guidance or best practice around what's the right mix. Because I think most people that do fundraising and development obviously want to raise funds to support their organizations and their causes. But nobody really talks about what are the other kinds of behaviors, activities, ecosystem support that they're providing that is actually getting rewarded. And so even in my own organizations, we talked about how we would think about, you know, reward and recognition and compensation. The first thing that my boss asked was, what information is out there? Like, what are we benchmarked against? Who can we benchmark against? Are there best practices? And as we dove into a whole lot of this, not a lot really existed. And then when I talked to other fundraisers as well, I thought, well, maybe it's just me being new to this space and maybe I'm just missing something and something magical exists and we can just take it and run with it. And it really doesn't. And I think a lot of organizations struggle with the balance between appropriate rewards, the need to raise money, and then all the other things fundraisers and development professionals are doing. A lot of them do that on the sides of their desks, after hours, kind of volunteering, if you will. But I don't know that it's volunteering. I think a lot of it is really building those networks and actually doing a good job. So yeah, I probably thought about it more than I should have. But and then we had some great conversations about this. And so, yeah, I think it's just a good time to talk about this as the entire profession is looking for better ways to do this.
Yeah, I love, and you come up with some great ideas, which I'm sure we'll go into as part of this conversation. But I just want to pause, like, I do think it's a big topic of conversation. And I'm not sure that I would call it controversial, but I will say that I think there's some resistance also. Like, I definitely talk to people who are fundraisers who have a little bit of an eye roll, you know, like about the woo-woo of like, you know what, we're fundraisers, we're goal-oriented, that should be the metric. So I love your thoughtfulness about it. And I love, you know, wow, it seems like there's actually a conversation happening that's not all just one thing or another thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And people are thinking about doing this in a better way, right? I think part of what I'm seeing, I think, generally in development, my background is mainly in international development, but similar circles, I think, are thinking about kind of sort of fundraising in the same way. And part of it is, how do we not only do the job well, but do it right and do it with aligned partners that are really going to be folks who you really want to work with. So it's no longer, I think people are looking for more than just funding partners, as in just give me a check and get out of my way. I think the industry is changing where we're really looking for more aligned partners to both be a supporter, but also really be a thought partner. Because I think, you know, a lot of us are sharing, you know, learning as much as we are sharing and sharing as much as we are learning. And so I think that's changing the way that everybody is looking at this. And, you know, there's probably no one right way to do it, because it depends definitely on the organization and the individual. But I think it's an important conversation to have, that even having the conversation itself is a great starting point, because it's, you know, we need to ask ourselves those questions and think about what's going to make sense for you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, in the post, you mentioned even with just raising money, there's more nuance than that, right? So it's not just like as simple as like you raised the most money, you know, you're the fundraiser on the team who raised the most money. So maybe dive into the first couple of points you make about how we can think about the type of money that's actually coming.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's these aligned partnerships that are really, I see as critical for long-term support. So the way that I've thought about it is you can either do fundraising in a way where you're like, just kind of all out, it's all about short-term, let's just like meet this year's goal. And it's very short-sighted in thinking that way. It's very easy to do that. And sometimes you have a lot of pressure to raise funds and, you know, everyone's really working hard to do this. But if we need to, I think, have a longer term, even if a long term for you means 3 years or 5 years, and vision in terms of what kinds of partnerships you're hoping to build. Because I think a lot of this, just hurry up and get it before the end of the year, hurry up and meet my target, sends a great message to the donor or the partner that you're working with. It's not a great message for the organization to be in a little bit of a crazy cycle of like, okay, I'm running up till the end of the year and it's kind of panic mode. But more, can we operate in a longer term mindset? And what does that mean? How do we build better relationships? So just because maybe I got lucky and somebody had some money left over at the end of the year and they wrote a big check doesn't necessarily mean I did a better job than somebody who really took a long time to build relationships and are actually really building something that over the long term might actually have longer term partnership commitment and benefit. And so again, it's hard because, you know, all organizations need to pay the bills and we have to sort of do things in order to sort of support that. But can we think about it a little bit more broadly? And again, I think a lot of fundraisers and a lot of reward systems look at it as a 1 year time horizon when it's actually much longer than that. And the reward systems are a 1 year reward system. It's not a long-term sustainable building very deep, robust partnerships over the long term. So I think we need to think about how we can reward that behavior that is more long-term oriented. And I worry that sometimes the pressure is overly weighted on the like short-sighted end of the year, just like across the finish line. Yeah. And it's hard. It's a hard thing because we have the realities of you know, paying the bills and keeping the lights on and making sure that we're getting money out to where it's needed the most. But at the same time, I think if we truly want more of a sustainable organization, sustainable way to do this, we need to be thinking about it longer term.
Well, and, you know, I was just thinking about what you said and then what Margaret said about, you know, the quote unquote controversy. It was just, I didn't even think about this when I read your post, but I mean, the other interesting thing is the turnover in the sector, right? So it's sort of like a lot of times, you know, a big gift comes in, well, you're not the only person who contributed to that, right? Because, you know, you
absolutely
the organization and there's been a lot of years put into that. But then the other thing is, you know, I love what you're calling for this longer term, you know, kind of compensation plan, but then the turnover in the sector, which is like a whole other issue that, you know, we could talk about on a different podcast. It feels like, I don't know, Margaret, like, what's your sense? Does it feel like maybe that's part of the controversy is like, you know?
I think it's, I mean, honestly, I think there's an attachment, you know, people who have been at this for a long time and who, you know, are sort of tried and true traditional fundraisers feel very comfortable within their metrics, you know? So I think it's something new, and new things make people uncomfortable sometimes, maybe. But I think it's also the holding, you know, Joe, which is, it's complicated, right? It's the holding of, like, we actually do have needs this year. And so it's how do we keep a foot in more than one place, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how do we raise enough to pay our phone bills this year and pay our staff this year? And at the same time, be patient and look at other, you know, other things that are going on.
Yeah.
It's complicated.
Yeah. And I think that's why, you know, for those, you know, people who are listening, I mean, really, if you're focusing very much on dollars raised, I think what do they always say? Like, what gets rewarded gets done, right? So it's very hard, I think, as a fundraiser to say, like, I need to devote a significant amount of my time to these new kind of different opportunities when you know you're mostly going to get rewarded and promoted potentially based on the short-term results, right? So that it takes a lot. I mean, in many ways, it's sort of like when you become a fundraising leader, it's like sometimes you get overly rewarded for your fundraising side and less so for your leadership skills. And so it's just hard. I mean, as a human being, it's hard to pay attention to things that are not being measured and rewarded, you know, within your organization. Yeah.
Although that's probably a great segue, because I think the things, Joe, that you suggest in your blog sort of indicate, you know, we're not talking about completely unrelated activities to be rewarded, that, you know, most of the things that you're suggesting that we perhaps also take into consideration are secondary or contributing to the fundraising. They just aren't measuring the dollars exactly. Do you want to maybe share what are some of the strategies you guys are looking at?
Yeah, I mean, I think these are just a few, and I'm sure there's probably 100 more. But in addition to sort of, you know, looking at funds raised, I think a lot of it is the question around, you know, can we reward, for lack of a better term, conversion? Or there's a lot of fundraisers who work, I mean, you all know this better than I, with partners who you've had ongoing conversations for a long time, they're feeling you out, you're learning about them, you're kind of building a lot of this. And then when that commitment happens, you know, what about that was the thing that got you to cross the line with the funder?
Meaning when you have a funder who's traditionally given at a certain level and suddenly,
not give it at all, and you just have been talking to them for a long time, and there's something around why did that happen? And for my, again, limited experience, but usually it's really building these significant relationships, and it kind of is, what about learning about the organization, investing the time to work with them, kind of changed, you know, got them to make a commitment, and what is it about that? And generally, it's an investment of time. It's not easy, but it's, are we rewarding that? And generally, what happens is we don't look at the process by which you're actually building those relationships. It's, you're only looking at the outcome. So, are there things we can be looking at around that? Are we asking our donors that specific question, like, what about the last, what made you change your mind in the last few months? What was about the relationship that developed? And can we reward that part? And again, it's very maybe fuzzy and intangible, but that I love, because that's the real magic of development and fundraising, is really where something happens where you somebody sees your vision, or they're really buying into that, or they're really like, okay, you've convinced them that what you're doing you know, has value, and they're willing to invest in you, and they're willing to invest in that idea. And so that's really great. That's probably, you know, very hard to measure, but I think it's asking some questions around that.
I think measuring the special sauce that happened is tricky, but being able to reward somebody on your staff who's, you know, you're using the word conversions, right? I mean, that your CRM will tell you probably pretty quickly.
Yeah. And also, I think to Janice's earlier point, I think also, you know, who was involved in that on the team that is also part of that. Yeah, exactly. that's the final kick before the main soccer goal. That's really important.
I thought we were going with hockey here, but yeah.
I'm American, so I still don't really understand hockey, but here we go.
Neither do I, Joe. Neither do I. Yeah. So yeah. And let's get a little bit broader here too. Like, then we sort of explore in the blog, Joe, you talk about like there's other things that you have to do to contribute to your organization. And, you know, that's another place that people can look again. So I'll get you to kind of give some examples, you know, from your own team or things you've seen happening elsewhere, where it's just simply about like making a better place to work.
Yeah, there's lots of things, I think, in terms of developing yourself personally, kind of building connections, and then things that I've seen fundraisers do sort of on a volunteer basis. So one example is I've been really lucky to sit with a group of Indigenous fundraisers here in Canada. And sort of we have a bit of like a loosely formed monthly or so, just kind of check in and sort of, I don't know if you'd call it a support group. Some of us it's like therapy. Some of it is just like kind of catching up. But so many of us deal with a lot of the same issues. So just having an informal forum to be able to work together, to learn from each other, to share resources is not, I wouldn't say that is a formal part of a lot of our roles, but we do it because of the benefit of actually connecting, learning, and sharing ideas is so great. And so it's one example of that kind of leadership, if you will, is I think really important for any fundraiser, especially any new fundraiser like me, who's really just needing to learn and connect and grow and share with others. And so how do you measure that? How do you reward that, right? That's important, but a lot of us are doing this like over our lunch breaks or on, you know, after hours and things like that, but it's so critical. And I think that's really important to also keep the whole profession moving forward, because I think a lot of for me, the best conversations I've had are these kind of side chats or informal gatherings where we're really sharing things that are really cool, or a lot of us are sharing potential partner prospects or things like that. So it's stuff that I feel is probably the most important, yet it's really hard for us to figure out how we value this when we combine all the different things that we're measuring with our fundraising objectives. And so we talk about this specific topic a lot. Our last call was actually exactly on this, like, what are things, how are people being recognized and rewarded? What are good ideas for this? And a lot of them had similar questions. So I was like, this would be like a great blog idea. This is a great thing to talk about.
Yeah. And I will say, like, for me, I think back, you know, I was very lucky when in one of my past jobs, I was on an association board. And a lot of people, when they have to do that, like you said, Joe, they have to do that in their own time. And it's already, you know, I mean, work already takes up a lot of our time. But I had a manager who was very supportive, like whether it was traveling to go to board meetings, you know, having like, you know, board calls like during work time. And, you know, she said to me flat out, it's like, you are learning so much and you are bringing like all of these innovative ideas back. And then because she could see that I was really excited about what I was learning, like she said, like, why don't you start running? Like we would have regular meetings to kind of innovate the kind of work that we were doing. And I was learning a lot of things from this professional association that we could put into practice. And so I think it's very easy. It's not like sometimes being rewarded also means being given opportunities, right? It's not just like financially rewarded or being promoted. It's just like, I can see a spark in you that going out and doing this is bringing more energy and passion and ideas to the team. And so, you know, I felt very rewarded by that, like very supported and being given that time, but then also like, okay, I'm being allowed to actually create something. Work from this experience, which felt great, right? So I think that's like, as we're talking, it also occurs to me, like, there are many ways to reward people. And sometimes letting them do more things, rewarding, sometimes not.
But I mean, what I also hear, Janice, you know, that probably, I don't know that there's exactly science here, or there may be, but that, you know, these kinds of things are a little bit of an antidote to burnout, right? Getting space to do things that are personally interesting.
Yes. Yeah. I think so. Like, it felt very aligned with my values, right? Which is important. And I mean, another thing we see, Margaret, is, you know, we are lucky that we have an opportunity often to teach coaching skills to nonprofit professionals. And that's another way, right? Like often, again, it's like everybody is different. But for some people, being able to coach or mentor somebody else, very rewarding, you know, and very energizing. And also that goes both ways too, right? You learn a lot from those experiences. So I think there are a lot of like really unique ways, Joe, that you're kind of offering people. But the truth is like, you got to talk to the people and see who wants what.
Yeah, everybody's absolutely different. And I think organizations think about professional development as maybe one category of this. And then they think about network activities. Sometimes they think about them as the same. Sometimes they think about them differently. But I think, again, it's this, what are people driving energy from? How can you support that? How can you learn? How are you making yourself better sharing and then making your organization better by doing that? And not seeing that as like, oh, well, maybe if we get a small budget to send you to this conference, something, it's just for you, just for the individual, like as something they're just thinking about as a benefit to the person. And it's like, no, you're actually benefiting the role and you're benefiting the team, because generally, people bring those ideas back, share them with their colleagues, make these connections, and actually strengthen the organization and their team. So we should also broaden our definition of what we think about as professional development, because too many times I see that as like, well, that trip is expensive and maybe we can send one person and maybe it'll be worth it and maybe this. And they're not really seeing it as an investment. And again, I get the realities of like, money isn't infinite. And I think, you know, obviously we have to be stewardly with the kinds of things that we do, but looking at it more as a holistic, how do we sort of support an individual? And then how is that coming back and actually supporting the organization and their team as an investment to the team? And how do they think about it as sort of core to that? And depending on the organization, it varies. Their level of investment in that totally varies. And that's where I've heard anecdotally from those that are with organizations that support that and see it more holistically, people tend to be happier, stay longer because they're able to grow in that. They're able to change. They're able to sort of make connections. And it's, I could see a good way to be with that organization for longer than the ones that don't. And I'm just like, sorry, like you're just here to make money. See you later. Of course, like that, you know, that can only be satisfying for so long. And then people move on. You kind of can't, you know, seems like a reasonable thing.
Yeah. What are some of the other things that you get to do, Joe, that feel like they feed your soul or are gonna, you know, give you more longevity in your job, the antidotes to burnout?
Yeah, I think things are changing a lot now. And part of it is because I'm, you know, just a few years into this work, but also because of the pandemic, I felt like so much had to be done virtually and the connectivity was so different. I think we're seeing a shift in that now where we're starting to see more 3D human interaction and activity. And that for me personally, that really changes things in terms of being able to sort of have those connections. But I think, you know, that ability to be able to sort of informally just like chat with people, meet with them, learn from them, I think really is different than doing it online. So for me, a lot of this was done virtually for the first year and a half. And it was a bit tough because I think there was just a component missing, but it wasn't until this year where I started to travel where I could see where some of those kind of informal connections were so much better in person. So many of these conversations are so rewarding. So for me, it's just also finding what it is that energizes you. For some people, they just love to just dig into material and read, and that really energizes them. And so it's, what's the right mix of that? And probably for everybody, it's a little bit of everything, but making sure that you have that right mix for yourself and that you're able to sort of support it in whatever way you can.
Yeah. You know, I have Joe knows this, but when I, you know, kind of send an email a couple of days before I meet with clients, one of the questions I ask in the email is like, what are you learning right now? And when you were saying that, Joe, I was thinking, it's just a great question as a manager, you know, to continually be asking your team, because then you see the sparks, right? And then you start to realize like, oh, that person loves, you know, like you said, it might be expensive to go to a conference, but to get that person to mentor is free, you know, or to say like, I found this great article or this book just came out, right? There's many like sort of low cost, easy ways. But the important thing, like you're saying, is like you have to actually take the time as a manager to kind of understand what each person on your team enjoys and how they learn best in order to be able to do that. Yeah. Like to me, I'm like, I don't want to read a big book. I want to go out and talk to people.
For sure. For sure. And I think what was really great, Janice, working with you and your coaching is that, especially for those of us who sort of lead our either lead small foundations, organizations, or development teams, there's certain things that are just so helpful to be able to bounce off of somebody like you with a lot of experience who can kind of help kind of guide and talk through a lot of the questions. So I found our interaction so great because there were things that I wanted to think about or do with my team that it maybe was just, I needed to bounce it off of somebody who had those experiences, could share a little bit and could sort of also prompt me with those questions as well. Cause it's, you know, it's easier to sort of do that for somebody else than it is to do that for yourself. So having somebody help guide me was incredibly helpful and useful and definitely grateful for that combination. And for me personally, that mix really worked. It was a little bit of the research. It was a lot of just kind of asking questions, having you sort of support, gut checking a little bit of this, and then really guiding those things. And maybe, you know, that's something that I think as organizations and individuals think about the reward systems, having that dialogue is so critical. Because again, it's going to be very tailored to the individual. But I think when you ask these questions, what actually motivates somebody, what, you know, what rewards really incentivize you, what's a good combination, what are the things that we can kind of do? It's only that individual dialogue and conversation that'll really develop something that, you know, is truly meaningful to the individual person.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you.
I'm sort of curious, you know, it sounds like you've been giving this a lot of thought, and has your organization made some changes based on these suggestions?
Yeah. I mean, I think we just expanded our team to 3, including myself. So we're very small. And we're thinking about these things. And I think my organization, I'm really lucky. I have a really great relationship with my team and my boss. And she's kind of open to a lot of these ideas. And we're discussing how we can sort of make it work for us, kind of try things, see what works, knowing that we're not going to get it perfect the first time and then sort of experiment. So I'm really committed to that. And I think for my team as well, it's, you know, what gives you energy, what motivates you, what things do you want to learn, how can we support formally, informally, sharing articles, sharing blogs, whatever these things are. And I always find whenever I find something, I'm the kind of person probably annoyingly loves to just like send it to my team. Like, oh, have you seen this? Did you read this? This seems cool. Like, oh, I was just thinking about this week. Here you go. What can we do? And so it's, there's a lot of sharing. And I think that reciprocity is really great. I think when you have that energy on your team and you're sharing that not only within your team, but also then when you start to build these networks, and that's why I think it's so important. We constantly share with our fundraising circle, oh, here's some article that I think would be really, we just talked about this last week. Oh, think about this. And so those are the kinds of things that I think give a lot of us energy, because again, it's part of it is just knowing you're not the only one that's thinking about an issue or struggling with an issue, and have, you know, hearing different perspectives and just kind of talking those through to me is really helpful. That's how I feel like that's how I learn the best. And I love just sort of trying to get, you know, little nuggets of advice or insights from different things that I'm reading or thinking about.
I guess I am sort of, because you talk about it initially around the idea of compensation for people. So have any of these ideas found their way into how you compensate your staff? I mean, I think what we're talking about is financially, but maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's still evolving. I think for us, because my team is very small and our organization is relatively new to sort of, you know, capital F fundraising. And so we're thinking about what are those reward systems and creating a little bit of a balance of all. And so definitely money is important, but what are these other things that we're working through? So we're having conversations now about what are the other kinds of things that we can reward, both on the fundraising team, but also on other parts of the organization who are similar looking for incentive-based pay and what that could mean and what that could look like and how you do it ethically. Because especially in a not-for-profit, does it make sense for that to all just be like, you have a financial target and you meet it, and this isn't Wall Street, so or Bay Street. So how do we, you know, how do we think about that, and what's the right mix? And we're still learning. We don't have this perfect, but I think we're talking about it.
Yeah,
I like talking about it.
Yeah, like that's what when we were talking about the concept of this sort of blog and podcast, I said to Joe, I like that you're in the questions right now. You know, like we're all kind of just in the questions. So that being said, obviously, if people have listened this long, then they're interested in this topic. So let's give them something that they can try. So what's the challenge you want to issue, Joe, around this?
Yeah, I think my challenge, and please do send these ideas away, are just what are the kinds of reward systems you have in place at your organization, and what are those other metrics that you're measuring impact more than just money? How are you measuring client satisfaction, for lack of a better term, a conversion to a gift, for lack of a better term, incentivizing significant conversations or relationships? Did you build a really important relationship that is likely to be longer term? How are you rewarding that or incentivizing it? And what other things are people thinking about, or what's your sort of mix of, I guess, things that you're looking at, and what's working for you? So I'd love for people to think about that. Hopefully it's more than just money. If it is, share them back, share them with your other fundraisers, because I think we're all thinking about this in the same way, and all of our mixes are going to look different. But I would love to just start to think around the categories. How are people categorizing these kinds of behaviors? And what can we learn from each other? And I think this is going to be an ongoing conversation, both in these circles, but also I think generally in international development and the other work that I do. Like what are great reward systems look like, and how are they, you know, how is it seen as more holistic? Yeah. So.
And we'll link to Joe's LinkedIn, so people can definitely reach out to him and, you know, continue to have this conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. And we normally have a free resource. We don't have one this week because this conversation is so new. So we do really want to invite anybody who's listening and who's really engaged in, kind of thinking about some new paradigms here to engage with us. You know, our emails are all available on fundraisingleadership.org, or we're all on LinkedIn. So we're curious if you have thoughts or ideas about this that we haven't come up with yet. So Joe, thank you so much for being with us and for bringing an idea in its newness for us to explore with you. We really appreciate it. This podcast is brought to you by Fundraising Leadership. We provide unique coaching and training programs to grow nonprofit leaders. Please subscribe if you haven't already. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. If you are enjoying the show, you can help us continue to bring thoughtful content with a one-time contribution. This supports our production costs and keeps the show ad-free. Please make a contribution today using the link in the show notes. Now, go put it into practice.